This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's episode is an interview that Gary did on the Outer Realm podcast. In this interview, he gives his 500-foot overview of the NFT space and why he believes that he's going to be involved in the space for the rest of his career. Enjoy.
Hey, Gary, how's it going?
It's going really well, Eric. How are you?
Very good, very good. Appreciate you taking the time to do this. This is really awesome.
Thank you for saying that. Let's get right into it because I know I'm 5 minutes late. I apologize.
Exactly. No worries. It's already recording, so we'll just rock and roll. I'm going to go right through my intro and then we'll go from there.
Looking forward to it.
Great. Hello, Crypto Artland. It's me, Second Realm, AKA Eric Rhodes. And I'm here with my guest, Gary V, AKA Gary Vaynerchuk. And
yours is much more creative as a front-facing name. Mine was very basic.
Yeah. I've had mine for about 30 years, but I just started using it in the art world.
Love that.
Yeah. So tell me, let's get right into it. I want to hear about your 500-foot view of the NFT space and then give me like a prediction over the next 2 years where you see things going.
My overview is that it is inevitable and will be some, to me, this is not a technology or a movement or a social norm that kind of goes away. I think there's not a day that I live on earth for the rest of my life that NFT is not a conversation that is happening. Similar to internet, you know, similar to social networks. Like, I just don't see, so like, I view the, you know, the non-fungible token blockchain realities of the digitalization of assets far beyond the art and collectibles that is so easy to understand in something that's complicated for most. I think this obviously goes into every transaction that's not fungible, you know, so like selling a home, you know, a piece of land, and many, 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 many other transactions. So I think it's gonna affect the way people launch music and books. Like, I myself am rethinking a very lucrative book deal on the table for me.
Yeah.
Because now I have a different path in my head to what I would do.
Yeah, there's digital ownership for you right through the entire process.
Correct, and really like the ability to sell the NFT and then the book comes, but then I have a secondary income stream if people are trading the book collectible and then the metadata of me saying, well, you're part of my book club and, you know, no audio book, but we can do Q&A. Like, it just changes everything.
Yeah, one of the things that I think that people talk about is, when it comes to like the collectible, the digital collectible, and then the physical, is their concern is, well, what happens when I get the physical collectible and, you know, the digital one, you know, do they have to be together? And I think of them as like, remember the old Beckett magazines with card inserts?
Yes.
You would keep the cards, you would hold on to them as collectibles, but the magazine was in and of itself its own physical item. I see the same thing.
Yeah, and I see similarities. The way I've been explaining to people is like, look, that's the most important part of NFTs for me is, does the human being or the human beings behind a project understand how to actually build a community? This is why I feel so confident in it, Eric, right? I have spent 15 years building an actual community and have been very thoughtful to not monetize it in a very inefficient, silly, short-term way. Same thing's gonna happen with me and with NFTs. I will launch my own project and that project will live with me for the rest of my fucking life. Not, here's a fucking photo of me, buy it and I'm going to sleep.
Right.
All of the metadata will be the project, not the actual imagery or the short-term transactional nature. We'll go into that a little bit later. Let me give you the prediction. So macro view is, holy shit, this feels like 95 in 2005. 95 for me was oh my God, this internet, world wide web, information superhighway. This is forever. I'm gonna put my liquor store on it. It's gonna change my life. That happened. 2005 for me was, you know, this MySpace Friendster thing, this the Facebook, you know, oh my God, February 2006, this YouTube thing. Wait a minute, this feels a lot cooler than message boards and comments in a blog. Hey, this is forever. This is humans communicating on top of the internet like we do in real life. This, it wasn't even social media at the time. I called it Web 2.0. These Web 2.0 sites, they're gonna change the world. Well, here we are 15 years later and we're still in the dawn of social networks. Not even, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Facebook had a long run, Inc. You know, TikTok is a new club. Like, so, oh, right. We will communicate over the internet, right?
Yeah.
E-commerce for me in 95 was we will shop over the internet. To me, oh, we will buy everything in a digital form over this thing called a blockchain. And, you know, so to me, this is a forever. Now, the more interesting part. In yes. both 95 and 2005, I saw every project that I could because I'm that guy, and 97% of them failed. And that was hard. It was hard to raise capital and start a meaningful business on top of these platforms. NFTs are easy. The ability, after you learn a little bit, to mint and put on a marketplace anything. I sold a tweet for $2,000 right now on Scent. This is real now because I want to learn and what have you, and feels exciting and weird. Yeah. And I'm going to work hard to make sure that person makes a lot of money on that tweet if that becomes a thing. But what I'm petrified of, Eric, is I'm not as educated on the ICO crash that a lot of people in this space have gone through because I was so deep doing something else and I watched peripherally. And when I bought Ethereum in 16 and Bitcoin in 14, I bought them with this in mind, which is this feels right. I'm busy and don't feel like, especially because of finance, like currency doesn't speak to me. I don't buy stock. Like I don't like money, but I love tchotchkes and collectibles and IP.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I was bullish on Ethereum because I understood, you know, Aaron Battalion, big shout out to him, CTO of Living Social, big Silicon Valley technologist, venture capitalist. He broke it down and I understood the difference. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting about Ethereum. And I understood building on top of app ecosystem. I just kind of got it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm not following the DeFi ICO thing. Like it felt very scary to me, the ICO thing. It ended up being very scary, but I mean, it's very obvious what's played out, right? Which was a lot of those coins weren't right, mm-hmm. but the macro thing is right. I think with NFTs, a lot more people will be involved. Every creator, every artist, look at me. I've doodled my whole life. And this is going to give me a chance to kind of play a little bit.
I've been seeing you sharing them more.
And people are blown away how good I am at them. And I'm like, because I've been doing it a lot my whole life. Like I'm decent at it. I've never thought of myself as an artist, no different to me never thinking of myself as a personality, even though I had the gift of gab, I just thought of myself as a businessman.
You have the gift of gab?
Just a little something, just a little something. So Eric, here's what I would say. In the macro, it's one of the biggest technology shifts and cultural norms of our lifetime, you and mine and the people listening. In the micro, there will be a stunning amount of people that buy things for investment purpose that will collapse aggressively. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, the same way in March and April of 2000, Amazon was literally the only stock I had ever bought in like a 5-year period, probably in May or June of 2000, because what I understood was, oh my God, Wall Street thinks the internet's a fad, everything's going to zero, Amazon's gonna win. Even then I knew it. And so I did very well. I think the same way is, that's what I'm trying to do now. Which NFT projects, whether it's Beeple, whether it's Punks, whether it's Hash Mask, whether it's Kitties, whether it's, you know, Blau, Three Lau, you know, like what do I believe in 9 years is still going to matter? And that's what I spend time on when I think about the projects. Mm-hmm. When I look at the startups that I inevitably want to invest in, it's going to be more back to what I did in 95 and 2005, which is, you know, the first three companies I invested in 2006 was Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. And I feel like I'm going to be very similar here, where I'm confident in my first several bets because I'm doing a lot of homework before I make a bet.
There's two different aspects to this. There's the collectible sort of piece of this where it's feeding your your inner 12-year-old when you were shilling cards at the market, correct, all that kind of stuff. And then there's the businessman who's looking at, and the investor who's looking at the companies in and of themselves.
Also Gary Vaynerchuk, the human being. Let me explain.
Yes, this absolutely.
This piece of art is from Lise Bartlett. She worked for me at Vayner. I like her. Her husband worked with me at Resy. She's making a big risk and going on her own. This is expensive by my art standards. I bought it because I love her.
Yeah.
I'm excited because I'm meeting a lot of artists on Twitter and Discords. I'm excited to be the humanitarian. That's how I see it. Or the kind person. Like, I'm excited to buy art based on I like you, the human. My natural instincts around art go much more into like what I'm doodling, which is I care about the Smurfs and Punky Brewster and Max Headroom and RoboCop and TMT. Like, I like those things more than like a beautiful, you know, and
70s or 80s pop culture
group. I'm a pop culture guy. Yeah. And so I want to do that, which lends, you know, which is different than seeing some beautiful sketch or like paint. I don't like Jackson Pollock.
Yeah,
I don't
Everybody has their own artistic interests.
And I remind a lot of people who are listening, people are like trying to force people to like a certain thing. It makes me laugh. Like, why?
I think of myself as a coach and a teacher. I invite a lot of artists that are new to the space, come in, talk to me, DM me. Let's talk about this space. They're in here for a month and they're like, Eric, I'm not getting any sales. And I'm like, first, let's think about what are you doing? Well, I'm just posting links on Twitter. I'm like, you're not doing enough.
You're not doing enough.
Yeah.
That's like waking up in the morning. If you're an 100%. Artist posting a link of your art to an OpenSea account or whatever, that is literally like saying, I've woken up this morning. Cool. Yeah. Now what?
100%. Yeah.
My big thing is it's community building.
Yeah. I talk about connection a lot. Not communicating.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Same exact thing. And it's who is your audience? Find 20 or 30 people that are going to talk to you, going to be with you and act and connect with you daily. That's all you need. 20 or 30
Absolutely
people.
Right. And how much do you care about them versus caring about you? Every artist I'm talking to is like, I want to sell this for $800. I'm like, what's in it for the other person?
Right.
And there's two ways. Again, it's art and commerce.
Yeah.
Is this something that you are going to, like, if you're doing this for collecting, flipping, and I went through this recently with sports cards over the last 4 years, nobody gets to decide what another human being, like, I love how people are like they're trying to be dictators and communists. I'm like, you're telling me I have to collect art for the sake of the art and never sell it? Who gave you that power? I have to tell you to look at this as an investment where you just like having a wallet to display. Who am I? Right. And by the way, I'm going to do both. But I'm going to do mine. It's why I brought up the Elise thing. I'm going to support artists that I have an actual connection to from a human standpoint.
Yes.
Not to their art, because I've never been affected by art that way, comma, the art that I'm incredibly affected by is character creation. Like, I bought Magic the Gathering cards when they first came out.
Were you into Pokemon too? Did you buy those cards?
At that point, I'd really started my career and I was like 100% trying to build my dad's liquor store. But my brother AJ is 11 years younger. And when he got like massive strep throat and like real sick, I went to the card store, my dad, and bought him a box of the original Pokemon.
Oh my God, yes.
We always talk about that. But yes, I understand Pokemon. I'm obsessed with WWFE. I understand why Disney works. I think, and then I care about like funny little ones, like the Snorks or the Get Along Gang or the Wuzzles. I think everyone gets to pick.
Totally. Yeah. And I think that's the great thing about the NFT space is people are going to find their own little niche and their own place to sell the kind of things that their people want to sell.
Eric, I think the biggest responsibility for people that care during this era is getting everybody to understand it's Internet 2000. The NFT space is forever and going to be incredible.
Huge.
The next 24 months has the potential to be uncomfortably volatile with a very high likelihood of a substantial bubble burst from a project level, leaving 92 to 97% of things worth a lot less than you paid for it, but leaving 3 to 8% of being probably down a little or down some with 17 years from now, it being through the fucking roof. And yeah. that to me is the sum up of what's going to happen in the yeah. short term.
I have a 20 year view. I'm in this space as a creator, as an artist for 20 years. I'm going to ride the bubbles.
Eric, no joke and not kidding. I am in this space for the rest of my life yeah. on all angles. As an yeah. investor of platforms, the shovels and the picks, as a collector, flipper of the art, mm-hmm. and as a creator.
Yeah, a new avenue for you. Well, not really, but artistic.
No, a real one. And if anybody yeah. really follows me, I've talked for years about buying nostalgic brands because I love IP.
Yeah.
And if anybody's listened to me, I talk a lot about character creation and things of that nature. I had a cartoon called Lil V that I did an episode of. I love this shit. This is yeah. like a dream come true.
Yeah. For me, it's like my entire life has been a culmination of the NFT space. Like everything I've learned, everything I've become, my interest in collecting, my interest in art, my interest in tech, it's amazing.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Literally mine too.
Yeah. So you immigrated to America when you were a kid. You learned to speak English with your watching 70s and 80s pop culture. So thinking back, like 12, because I asked this of all my guests, 12-year-old Gary V, what does he think of Gary V today? Like what does he think about him?
He's proud that he didn't compromise kindness with the success that was bestowed on him. Mm. I think the 12-year-old me would be proud that the things that my mom was putting into my head at that point that were religion, kindness, nice, warmth, good, is something that I've not only kept through all the zigs and zags of my life, but now in a lot of ways, what she did for me, I'm doing at a very high level for many others.
Yeah, I think empathy is one of the things you talk about a lot. It's clearly showing in the way you're approaching the space, conscious of the fact.
Break that down for me, because that meant the world to me. I just want to say thank you for saying that, because it means so much to me.
Yeah.
I just want to get your perspective. Like, what are you seeing?
Well, you're taking care to be mindful about your weight as an influencer coming into the space, but you're also, look, you're bringing value to me by jumping on my show, right? I know that. And I'm highly aware of that, very in tune to that, but you are too. And that's a key aspect of your approach that I think is so genuine. And then some people miss on because they just see whale coming in.
Correct.
And so like my hope in bringing you on the show is to show that side. My goal for this podcast is to capture this time and moment in space. And then in 20 years have a tremendous amount of like content that can be turned into a documentary from artists that were nobodies or somebody,
it's 100% going to happen.
100%.
I just lived it. I was in hotel rooms with Mark Zuckerberg and Travis. Like I lived this.
Exactly. I missed out on all that, but I see this moment for that.
I can see it.
Yeah, he's got goosebumps.
Yeah, like insane. You know, I don't know. I know this is audio and video. Like,
yeah,
it's 100% going to happen. The part that hurts, to your point, people don't dig. Like, you know what gives me anxiety? That in 17 months or 9 months, when there's a big burst on the projects, I'm going to get bombarded with, fucking Gary V, you asshole, see, you son of a bitch, snake oil salesman. And I'm like, motherfucker, I've been on podcast after podcast, tweet after tweet saying macro, yes, micro, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah, they're not fucking listening.
And that's what it is. It's like when you're banned, when you discovered Nirvana first.
Yeah.
And then they become famous and you're mad at like what happened.
Oh, they sold out or something.
and by the way, back to empathy, Eric. Let it be known on this podcast, because I know it has an incredible community of the OGs. I think that's appropriate. I understand it. Yeah. The problem is it's unstoppable.
Yep.
What is going to be. This like that. That's why I love the early days. Like a lot of my new friends. That's the other thing. When I tell you, and I'm jumping around here a little bit.
No,
my favorite
please.
Part about this is my new friends.
Yeah.
Our friendship building from this moment on, my best buds come from that 2005, 6, 7. It's those days when you're, I mean, let there be no confusion. No matter how hot it is right now on Twitter and Clubhouse and Discords and a little bit here and there, 98% of Americans have no concept of NFTs.
No.
So I remember in 2007 being at South by Southwest and everyone's like, I'm like, guys, nobody has a fucking Twitter account. There's 300 million Americans. And at the time it was like, you know, a million and the OGs are like, oh, it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking blows. Here comes the business. I'm like, here comes, what are you talking about? And that was like a year before, you know, Ashton versus CNN to get to a million, you know, like, or two even. So I think cherish these moments. It won't be 2018 and 19 anymore. It just isn't.
No. But I've been in this space for 2 years. Helping build it from the ground up, you know, being part of, I think you call it the dirt, right?
Yes.
So
and I love, and that's amazing. And those are less, what's cool about it is it's all documented.
Yeah.
Unlike going to the first Pearl Jam concert, you can prove it. You've got the videos.
Provenance, baby. Provenance.
And so, you know, like one thing I've been thinking a lot about is like, you know, that new site sent where the Jack tweet is going, like I want them to have a search function. Like I'm dying to see the person. Like, this is why people don't understand provenance. I, last night, sleeping, said, oh shit, I wanna see the first time Bitcoin was said on Twitter. What's the first single tweet that says Bitcoin?
Yeah.
And then, of course, did you find it? I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
But like, what I'm hoping is that between Scent and Twitter, in their relationship, if they have a relationship, if they're gonna have a relationship, seeing that Jack acknowledged them in such a serious way.
Yeah.
Imagine having the ability to search on one of those two sites the first time a word was mentioned.
Insane. I tried to look for the first time. It was another keyword, but same thing, right? When was the first time something was said?
So anyway,
it's kind of difficult. It's provenance.
It's gonna matter. Like, who was the ready? Here's some fun stuff. This is what I say with friends that have no idea what I'm talking about. Like, do you think it's cool to know the first person that bought the first ticket to the first showing of ET? Do you think that's cool? And
absolutely,
universally, everyone's like, yes. I'm like, guess what? That is going to be the world.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be able to see. And for collectors, and it's going to be who the wallets that content has passed through.
Are you kidding? It's the greatest thing ever. I would buy right now a collectible that Randy the Macho Man Savage once held.
Right?
100%.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, people don't understand how social currency works. It's why you're wearing the beard that you're wearing right now.
Totally.
It's why people are like, Gary, I don't get NFTs. I'm like, you have a Gucci bag. They're like, yeah. I'm like, that's NFTs. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, why'd you buy that?
Right.
You're flexing. You're socially communicating. And it works both ways. I love when hipsters, I have so many hipster friends, they're anti-establishment. I'm like, that's your version. You don't buy a polo, you buy a vinyl record. It's all the same game, Eric.
Well, NFTs are kind of counterculture, anti-establishment right now.
For now,
but it's
going to be the Rolex and the fucking 100%. You know, and this goes to why I think what I'm spending all my time on is it CryptoPunks? Is it Beppe on Bitcoin, their first block? Like, is it kitties? Is it like what really establishes itself as the OG projects that has Christie's and Sotheby's and the billionaire and millionaires of the future wanting to own? That's not about the people. Like, I love when I tell people, like, that's not about the money. That's about the clout of, was I smart enough to play chess and figure it out?
Totally. From a scarcity perspective. So let me throw this at you.
Please.
You know, card collectors, we think about the 52 mantles, the 51 mantles, they're the fucking gold standard used to be the gold standard in, you know, the card collecting community, 68 Ryan, right? You know, these kinds of things, they're scarce because they're what, low production, and kids used to throw, my dad used to put mantles in the wheels of his car, the bike, to make the flipping noise, right? 80s and 90s overproduction of baseball cards, other collectibles. What attributes are you looking for in terms of scarcity for digital collectibles?
Well, it's funny. 80s and 90s, what people always forget, always, and I couldn't believe how many people didn't get this part with cards in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Supply doesn't scare me. Supply scares me when it outpaces demand.
Yeah.
People are so fixated. They're like, Gary, I'm going to crush. It's a one of one. I'm like, if zero people want it, you've got a problem. Got it? Right? So like,
look, that's so true.
Right? There's a lot of blue Slaggletooths that were in the Sears Cantina set only. Yeah. There's just a lot more Star Wars nerds that want that one than the red one that was on an Empire Strikes Back card. Hence, it's worth more.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like Star Wars only made one Yak Face power. There's Migos on cards from the 70s action figures. Like, you don't need there to be one in existence or 19 or 57. This is my point with Michael Jordan and Charizard. Michael Jordan rookie and Charizard are the next 40 years of net worth individuals. Holy grail. The end. Yeah. And so what am I looking for? I'm looking for enough. I mean, look, I've alluded to it enough. I'm extremely bullish on CryptoPunks because I think it's OG.
Yeah.
I think it's 8-bit culture. I think people underestimate the visual attachment to 40 and 50-year-olds that have wealth.
Yeah.
And I think that there's only, 10,000 with, that's a good starting point. Like, it's established ERC, like it basically became kind of like the thing that everyone pointed to and built on top of.
Absolutely. They basically were the reason the ERC-721 token
was created
for that.
Just think about that.
Yeah.
Right? And then
culturally significant, technologically significant.
Enough people give a shit about it. There's only a certain amount. It's got all the things that make you realize, like, they built it in a way. They're two very nice men. I think that matters.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're part of the community. And I think they built it in a way that people care. Like, they care about a purple hat. Like, literally, I care about purple hats because of the hat I'm wearing. I own the esports team called Version One with the owners of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
And like, we wear purple hats. Like it's just like, I don't know, like, it's not super complicated. And like, the earrings and the VR, like, so I'm trying to find things like that. Hash masks is something I haven't dug into.
Yeah.
But the cryptic nature of the things you can't see and clearly.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Correct. It's interesting. And then look, I do think that there'll be things that come along, like, that have been around. Yeah. Pokemon's official NFT project is gonna matter.
Sure. Yeah. Classic IP coming in will always have a place in our hearts.
100%. And new IP, like the next Star Wars Pokemons, and Star Treks are gonna be built starting with NFT.
I know that we're at the half hour. You got one more minute.
One more minute. I did push to 12:03, so I got that minute. Go.
Yeah, cool. So I don't know if you noticed, but I started a project called Unofficial Punks, which was like this social community. And really what I want to tell you about it is it's exciting to me to see people who have been priced out of buying a punk who can now still participate. And that's the community aspect that I 100%. Really, really like to push and share.
And it's, you know what's cool about that, right, Eric? It speaks to counterculture, right?
Yeah.
Punks were authentic, then they became too big. Then you know how I see that, like rock and roll. The Rolling Stones were super authentic.
Yeah.
Their concerts got expensive. Here comes the Clash.
Yes.
Right? And that's what I think that's amazing.
Yep.
And by the way, they both coexist. I hate that people want everything to be or.
Right. There's an and in this space for everything. Yeah.
I think the word and, if this space can fall in love with the word and, I think that you'll see a lot more happiness. And I'm hoping to be a champion of that word in this space.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, brother. I wish you well.
Yeah, you too. You got it. All right, buddy.
All right. Episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Today's highlighted review is Everything in Its Place by the great Bambino 1234. I love how vast the footprint the Gary V sets up across the digital space, but I find myself here the most. I'm glad it pulls in from other interviews and other podcasts. such a rising tide concept. Love it. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.